Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.
Hello. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, again, we'll be having a conversation with AC and others, and I'm hoping Brother Pianchi chime in. What's up, brother? I hear you there.
Huh?
I heard you. What was all that for, man? What'd you say, man?
I didn't say anything. I was listening to you talk about the Brother Pianchi call chiming in. I thought that was cute.
Oh, okay. Cute. Thanks, man. I like that, man. How you dealing with this heat, man?
I'm maintaining, man. It's a strange situation. I actually dove out in it, because, Rob, it's been a long time since I've been able to stretch my legs, you know what I'm saying?
Another
thing, well, not to jump off on that personal stuff, let me just offer you this. You said that when you called me Tuesday, you said that I called you back.
Yeah.
Right. It was kind of impossible for me to call you back. But you might have gotten a call back. I mean, you have to admit area code.
Now you're telling me I'm crazy?
No. You're quite perceptive, as a matter of fact. I'm trying to explain the situation. Your area code for this area is very strange. Would you agree?
Kind of.
Yeah. So, curiosity might have gotten the better of some people who were near my phone. I am too old for really. I'm really too old for that stuff. But, people going to do what people going to do. So I just thought about that because, like I said, it was kind of sort of impossible for me to answer the phone because I was kind of.
That stuff will never die, man. Got to go on.
See, that's a problem, really. That's a problem. At this stage of my life, I got to worry about stuff like that. Oh, please. Come on, man. Bigger and better thing. I was just thinking about that because I know, I can guarantee you I didn't answer the phone. But my phone was kind of sort of just laying out, and it's kind of noisy. Bright lights, big city, all that other stuff. And the number would have been very visible, and I know, like I said, curiosity. You know curiosity. So.
It just because it's laying out. Look, man, again, how you dealing with that heat, man? And,
I jumped out.
I wanted to go ahead.
I felt good. I'm not recommending that for everybody, but, huh?
Hold on. What did you say?
I jumped out in it, and I felt good.
Make this a little bit political real fast. Okay. I'm not hearing the Republican types, because they're always saying that this global warming thing is a myth. So
they don't call it global warming. They don't like to hear the word global warming anymore. They like climate change now, Rob. As if that would truly make a difference. I guess climate change makes the situation maybe 3 or 4 degrees colder than global warming or something like that. Is that the deal here?
I don't know.
They like to call it climate change, but yeah, go on with your global warming thing.
Well, we don't hear them that much, and this can still benefit them. Either way, I mean, it's getting hot out here, so, you're going to be using your air conditioner and all that other stuff.
Can I give you a little bit of, I don't know
you can't give me nothing. It's going to cost $40.
Okay. No, I don't know how valid all of this stuff is, but I have heard that there are certain groups that would love to see this place come to an end. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yeah, a little bit, briefly, yeah. I've heard that.
Right, yeah, me too. That's what I'm saying. Allegedly they have very strong views about bringing this situation to an end and, causing the second coming of Christ or something like that. Have you ever heard of that? I mean, we don't travel in the same circles, but I hear some real crazy stuff. I hear some real interesting stuff out there. I won't call it crazy. Who knows? I don't know what the heck's going on, but I think I've heard that on a couple of occasions.
They probably got money bit. They probably got money.
Like what?
They probably got
talking about money.
Yeah, the people that's wanting the world to come to an end. You know, that's something else. I know one, for real.
Oh, so you have heard of it? I was trying to check the validity of it to see if it was actually something that you have heard of it.
I've heard that since 2000, since Y2K.
Oh, okay.
The fear in human beings. That's why come human beings created gods, because of they needed something that they could that would protect them from the unknown. I mean, just like it was, we were scared to go in the basement. And lo and behold,
that's interesting. Human beings created God. God didn't create human beings?
No, human beings, man created gods.
Man created God, so God couldn't create man.
Well, everything you know about God was told to you by man, right?
I agree with that.
And on a historical level, man created gods.
No. On a historical level. Okay. How about on a factual level?
Well,
history doesn't necessarily have to be factual. I mean, because it's always been proven that the people who win the wars write the history. So how about on a factual level? I mean, how about on a conceptual level? Think you could honestly create all of the? You think there's someone that could honestly create something like the human body?
Well,
you think that's doable?
No, I'm saying
First of all, let me say that I don't know. About God is supposedly based on faith, but looking at it from a logical perspective, it seems to me there's some things being done that have been done here that nobody is able to duplicate, no matter how hard they try.
Well, if things that
so
man
somebody has to
about.
Be responsible for that.
Things that man didn't know about, they assigned to God. Man created gods. Every ethnic group had their own god, going back as far back as you can. And another thing, when ethnic groups went into battle, they had people that, just like they have reporters today, that report things as they happen. So, but no, man, there was many gods. Man created, of course, the oldest conception of a creator that was that of Ptah.
Okay, before you go on, all of that's interesting, and I'd like to hear that, but let me just make one point here. You are saying that man created God, therefore God didn't create man.
No, man created gods.
Okay, go ahead. Do your thing.
No, I'm done.
Oh, no, you were talking about Ptah. I wanted to hear that.
Ptah was the oldest known creator of the universe.
Oh, okay.
And he created all the lesser gods.
Okay. So, but Ptah wouldn't be considered God. What, man created Ptah?
Ptah was the creator of the universe.
Did man create him, though? You said man created God, and you sound like you're saying that this Ptah is the God. But you said man created God. So did man create Ptah?
Not that we know of.
So there is God.
No,
his name
created.
You call him Ptah.
A creator. Ptah was a creator that created all the lesser gods, including the ones that we know today.
Who created Ptah? That's my question.
Well, according to Ptah, when being came into being, Ptah created being.
Also, Ptah is God.
No, Ptah is the creator.
But the creator is not God.
No.
Okay, so the creator is responsible for everything, which is the God authority. Which is basically what makes him God. He is responsible. He is credited with having done everything. Ptah has done this, but Ptah is not God.
Well, Ptah is the oldest creator of.
But you don't want to assign the name God to him, is what I'm hearing.
No, he don't want that neither.
Oh, Ptah doesn't want to be God. I understand it's a thankless job, but what
Greece,
if you just, I mean,
Greece,
you know,
and the Romans had many gods.
Yeah, I know. I know all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Ptah is interesting because actually I've never heard of that before. That, you know, things like that interest me. But I'm still trying to figure out, you know, you said, okay, okay, go on. I mean, we'll talk about Ptah because I'm getting kind of confused here. You said man created God, but man didn't create Ptah. But Ptah is just the creator.
When Ptah became, when Ptah came into existence, existence itself came into existence.
Huh? Okay. If you say so, brother. Hey. What do you base that on, though, would be a, I guess, a legitimate question. I mean, when Ptah came into existence, he created existence.
Okay. I can get that.
But he's still not God.
God is a lesser thing of a creator.
God is a lesser thing.
Yeah.
Than Ptah.
Yeah, everybody had their own gods. It was a radical group that said there was only one God. Some breakaways.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like you're saying that there was only one God. Am I mistaken?
No, I didn't say that.
You said,
it was a group.
Yes, you,
that
you
came,
said, well,
yeah,
like
the,
I said, it sounds to me like you're saying that Ptah is the one and only God. But he doesn't want to be God, so he's the creator. And I don't see the difference between the two. I think that's, you know, a matter of semantics, actually.
No, there is a difference between the two. The creator of the universe.
What's the difference between a creator and God?
There's space and there's universe. Universes exist within space. There's, even today, science say there's more than one universe.
Huh? No, I think galaxies exist between space. I think universes is
galaxies exist within universes.
No. I think universe means exactly what it says. Basically, everything. Universal means every way, everything.
We're part
of. There's nothing outside of.
We're part of what's called a Milky Way galaxy. There's many galaxies.
Okay, let's talk about universes before we go on to galaxies. We're trying to get to the one here, and we're trying to get to the singular, and you're duplicating everything up when you start talking about galaxies. I know there's more than one galaxy. What I don't know is that there's more than one universe. I don't know that. I thought universe was all inclusive.
No.
Could I be wrong?
Yeah, you. Matter of fact, you are.
So there's more than one universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that makes Webster wrong then, right?
Well, Webster is.
I mean, we have to have some definition here, don't we? I thought universe meant all inclusive, everything. And this, you know, actually, this goes to something even deeper because a lot of your conversation sounds like that. I mean, you know, first you tell me that man made God. And then you show me there was a God that man didn't make, or a creator that man didn't make.
Creator and God is two different things.
Okay, explain to me the difference, please.
Well, you're going to have to do your studying, man.
Okay, I'll do some studying off of you. Is that okay? Can I glean from you, Osiris? Can I glean some information from you? I mean, especially since, you know, you're the one that is trying to explain something to me, and I'm not getting the explanation here.
Well, you're going to have to go out and do your study. This is not my show on this particular topic.
Speaking of show, Chef Rob, where are you?
I'm right here.
I'm just letting you have that conversation because I wanted to go ahead and jet off into something else. You guys finished?
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Thanks. Because you know what? It's a couple of things. I want to kind of stick with the political thing today and also something to dealing with what Chris Rock said. Y'all heard what Chris Rock said?
Didn't hear what Chris Rock said. Don't care what Chris Rock said, but go right ahead.
Maybe you should pay attention to this real quick. It says, he tweeted, you know, it says, happy, happy white people's Independence Day. The slaves weren't free, but I'm sure they enjoyed the fireworks.
Okay.
And they've been talking a whole lot of stuff about him.
About who, Chris?
Yeah. So I kind of feel that tweet was correct.
What tweet? I kind of feel that his next movie will probably gross more than his last movie because he made that statement. How about that?
Yeah, why? Why would you say that?
Why?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the thing now is to draw controversy to yourself so people will go to the theater and see you from both sides of the aisle. Some will go there to hate you. Some will go there to love you. That's what they're doing economically nowadays. I thought you knew.
Okay, well, wait, you know.
In other words, I can't take Chris Rock seriously. I mean, if Chris Rock wants to talk about the events that are going on, that have been going on, then he should continue to talk about that. But he won't, so.
So
he's going to talk about it and garner what he can from it and move on. What, do you honestly think somebody making the kind of money he's making is truly dedicated to, you know, what it is that's going on out here? You think that? They're operating in the complete opposite direction of what it is that you're talking about. Yeah, they can comment on it, but are they going to do anything about it? No. And they would be the ones that would have the power to do so, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I didn't disagree with that. But I just thought the tweet was interesting and how the right-wingers and the Republicans are going ahead and saying that, hey, he's dividing the country and stuff like that. That was my point. And then Frederick Douglass made almost the same speech.
The country is
I'm trying to just point out the hypocrisy in the nation that we live in. And, again,
okay,
when people go ahead and bring up when I hear stuff about the Constitution, I still think it's just a piece of paper based on some of the stuff that was said recently.
Well, the country's being divided up like the brother's pie charts. So,
the country, you know,
somebody's not getting a piece.
Who is divided up? It ain't. What do you mean divided?
Huh?
What do you mean divided?
Finance.
The country.
I mean, that's the big divide. It's not even about race. It's finance. That's the divide.
Oh.
That's hypocrisy. For the richest,
like Mitt Romney, his offshore accounts, but he's running for president, telling everybody that Barack Obama is so bad for the country.
Oh, the whole Barack Obama thing is hypocrisy. This man is supposed to be the most powerful man in the world. Remember that? George Bush was the most powerful man in the world. I've heard them say it. But this president isn't. This president's a sham. This president's a fake. They're talking about their own president. What do they really care about this country? I mean, this is supposed to be the man, right? He's been the man the past 43 times. The president of the United States was the man, even though we know he wasn't. That's the hypocrisy. And yet still, this time, he's not even the man. He's a sham. And this is the people, these are American citizens that are calling their president a sham with all of their 4th of July patriotism.
So then what Chris Rock said that was correct, right?
Yeah, the only problem with Chris Rock, I mean, I don't think he'll continue to say things like that.
It
will affect his bottom line.
The message was clear, and it should be paid attention to. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, the message was clear, the message was succinct, and the message will probably be quoted very few times from here on in.
Mm.
He's not going to make it a habit of doing that, although this situation is going to make a habit of existing.
So you're
not
going to
talk about it every day, although it's a problem every day.
Wait, hold it. You said that it wouldn't be a problem. You wouldn't hear that every day. But then you also said that, hey, look, it might go ahead and affect his bottom line. So then that means that they're going to go ahead and be playing it. Somebody's going to be playing it almost every day.
What do you mean?
So him, that tweet could go ahead and affect his career, correct?
Yeah.
Could go ahead and make his career go south.
No. If he were to continue to speak on it. Right now, he's just made a controversy. It's not the first time he's made controversial statements.
Mm. Yeah, but everybody ain't affected. Everybody's not affected the same way. We go ahead and get treated worse.
He can go ahead and get treated worse.
Yeah, we get treated worse. You know, we get treated worse. We're going to get treated the worst. Let's not go ahead and throw that out the window. We're going to get treated the worst. With that tweet, that's still going to go ahead and be bothering a whole lot of people that are in
position.
Your
brother doesn't feel that way.
Huh?
Your brother doesn't feel that way. Why do you feel that way?
Why do I feel that
way? Did he feel that?
Brother Pianchi, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
But Bianchi doesn't feel that way. He doesn't feel that we get treated the worst, do you?
No. Oh, on what scale?
I was speaking financially. I don't know what Chevron was, which area
was
directly.
South Korea was doing a lot worse than Black America.
South Korea.
About 40 years ago.
So what I was saying, Brother Pianke, was that the tweet that Chris Rock put out is similar to something that was put out by Frederick Douglass.
Well, it was probably a spinoff of what Frederick Douglass said at the time.
I believe it was. It was similar wording as I read through this. I want to get that thing back up there. But it was similar wording.
Do you think that Chris Rock will put forth the same effort towards the problem that was spoken of that Frederick Douglass did?
I was hoping you hadn't framed it that way. I started thinking about what I was saying. No, I don't.
Okay. Excuse me. Come on, man.
No, I don't.
Look,
I don't think Chris Rock going to go out on a limb like, well, you know
what,
maybe later, but not right now.
You took those words right out of my mouth. The brother is not going out on a limb. I did call him a brother. But then again, I consider Brother Pianchi a brother too. So, you know, the brother did not go out on a limb. Hey, he's not going to do that. Like I said, he's made a couple of movies that I saw them. He was pretty decent in, but it didn't get the buzz that he wants out of his movies. I know he was behind, you know, some talented white actors in the last two movies, What Is It, What to Expect When Expecting, and the thing he did with Adam Sandler and the boys, you know. He was with an ensemble of comedians, basically, doing the brother thing. And all fine and good, but I would suggest that those movies didn't get the buzz that Chris Rock would want out of one of his movies. So, you got to do something, say something controversial. But I invite him to stick with that subject if he likes. I mean, he's made enough money. He can buttress himself against the onslaught, as it were. And
hey, man, let me tell you what the Herman Cain said, though, in response.
Herman Cain. We're quoting on Herman Cain now. Go ahead. Brother Pianchi,
man,
I know
it was, you know, I didn't want to, the whole thing he said, man, I just threw it all out the window. But the thing, one thing he said was, he said, independence, this country was going in its independence from Europe, from England. He said, if it wasn't for that, the slaves may not have won their independence. I was like, what the hell was he talking about? Did you get that, man?
I'm sure that Brother Pianchi can explain that.
Herman Cain's not very apt when it comes down to history. Anyway, so I've listened to him make some comments on historical content. I was trying to see what he had to say about I was interested in his 999, exactly what he was talking about on that. So I don't give him too much credence when it comes down to history.
Mm. Yeah, Herman Cain does go ahead and send some doozies, man.
Yeah. So what? How do you propose they handle the problem, Chef? How do you propose that they deal with the inadequacies, the diversity problem, the issues that affect this country today? How do they deal with that? What are they going to do? Global warming, if you want to talk about that. I mean, you know, there's a whole, you know, personally, like I said, I think this heat has been kind of sort of beneficial for me because, you know, I'm going through a thing and all of that, but other people out there taking a beating on this, and it seems kind of ludicrous to suggest that, you know, this is an everyday occurrence all of a sudden. I mean,
hey,
even the variations that we've had throughout the years.
I'm a chef, so I love to eat. I mean, like, I know a lot of people going ahead and passing out and shit, but I love it.
Yeah.
I got no problem with the heat.
Okay.
It's getting really hot, but if some people got some issues. I think you remember when, what was it like about 500 or maybe 600 people died here or something over the heat because of the heat?
Yeah, on Jackson and Costner. what the old folks home. Well, there were most of them that died at the old folks home, but there were a lot of people that died that summer because of heat. That's when they went batshit about getting air conditioning in places like that, which should have been an obvious. It was on more affluent parts of town. I promise you that, but we won't go into that. I guess we will. Yeah,
no,
right.
No.
It was in the hood, man. That's where them people died, in the hood.
Yeah. Hey, man, let me take a quick break, man. Something came up. Show. That wasn't the track I wanted to play, but it was interesting. I got that one.
Yes, it probably is cheaper to keep her.
I don't know what I was thinking about when I put that up there. I put the wrong one up there, man. You know,
some more financial jargon, so, you know, that's always appreciated on this show.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, it is, you know, actually it is cheaper to keep it. You don't want to go into all that old domain.
No, not me.
Look, I was looking at the, this thing, what, they said the NATO trucks are going to be moving into Pakistan again.
Okay.
Bringing the supplies to Afghanistan and all that other stuff.
Okay.
You know, something quick in the mind, I was like, did that really affect heroin sales?
Huh?
Did that affect the heroin sales for them 7 months?
Always worried about some sales. You and the brother Pianchi, man. Oh, look here. Let me ask you a question, though. I said you and the brother Pianchi are always worried about sales.
Yes. That's the key to the world,
okay,
man.
Okay.
I mean,
you're right.
Unfortunately,
at this point in time, you and the brother are probably right. That is the key to the world. That's the problem. But I do have one question. How much of the trucks, because the trucks were something like $200, $300, and they wanted to raise the price to $5,000. So how much are they charging for each truck to get through now? Do you have any info on that?
I can get it, but...
$100 million a month.
$100 million. a month. $100 million a month.
You see why I talk about that, man?
What?
You see why? I like to know where that money's going in sales. Where that money going? Where, I mean, where that money from?
And where's the money going?
It costs $100 million a month. See, that's the thing about like Afghanistan. Afghanistan is not ran by no one person. When you go through, if you was to run a pipeline from one end of the country to the other, every province that you go through, you got to deal with the person in that runs that province, and he in turn distributed amongst the people of their province. That's why come that particular way is better than having this democracy and one presidential head figure, because suppose that president came out of province B. Well, when time comes for that president to do right and distribute money amongst all the people of the country, most of the time it won't happen. And that caused a lot of problems.
But my thing is okay, I feel
with
some of the heroin sales. They've got affected a little bit. But how much are they going ahead, the guys who want to go ahead and keep this war going, like the Republican types, and then like some of those guys who are also selling heroin, they're also making better profits with all that protection from the U.S. government, don't you think?
Well,
yeah,
Taliban was destroying that stuff.
But they've been fighting the people that's selling the stuff. I mean, they're growing the stuff.
You honestly think this economy runs on one fair, righteous, justice, just will?
That's why you had, what was it?
It's all part of the same. You know, you're talking about what? Well, you're not talking about drug money like there's a difference between drug money and the money Brother Pianki makes. They're all the same money.
They're all the same money,
and they're all interconnected. I mean, this is what an economy is. The economy is about the money, all the money, not some of it. I mean, there are expectations for those situations outside of what you would call the moral vein, the respected vein of the economy. There are lines that are not so moral and definitely not as respected, that are making money, and they're putting it. They're all a part of the same economy.
Could you back up a little bit? Wait a minute. Hold on. I need you to go ahead. The morals thing. Talk about that.
There are some jobs where it is deemed helpful, even the honorable situations like that. There are jobs that you can work, and you get pats on the back. Nobody's patting drug dealers on the back, regardless of how much money they're throwing into this economy. And this, believe
me. Yes, they
me,
are. Wait a minute.
You're lauding the abilities of drug dealers now? Is that what's going on?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's happening. And you know what's happening. You know,
yeah,
some
know
people happening. They come to work, they work right now. And they bring their briefcase and they go ahead and they don't care.
And you consider it just a part of doing business. From my perspective, you are basically allowing this stuff.
Are you
allowing this system? You're allowing every aspect of this system to run full bore.
I am.
You don't expect the results that you get from this situation.
I expect fairness.
You expect it. Okay. You're expecting fairness from drug dealers on any level, because it's all connected. I mean, you know, this heroin that you're talking about, you know damn well this heroin winds up on the street, and you know damn well that's the reason brothers and sisters are getting killed on the south side of Chicago. It's about drug territory, more so than anything else. It's about the economy that's connected, that the brother loves so much. Come on, man. And yet still, you know, hey, if the brother could get his hands a hold of some of that $100 million that's coming down from, you know, from the Golden Triangle or wherever they dope coming from now, he'd be a happy camper.
But that might be payoff money.
All this stuff will still continue to go on.
There might be payoff money to them, don't you know?
Payoff money? Payoff money. What, is that a good thing or a bad thing now?
$100 million
in drug money. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
So,
I mean, because you sound like you're lauding it to me. You dig? You sound
okay,
like,
so
hey,
I got
my morals
a little screwed up.
Well,
right
you
now.
Know, here's the point.
Yeah, your morals
AC,
are a little screwed up.
Poppy
the economy
seeds,
does that.
Poppy seeds have
that's
been used.
Point.
Poppy seeds have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands.
And ain't nobody
of
been
years.
Making $100 million off no poppy seeds.
Poppy
for
seeds,
thousands and thousands and thousands.
Poppy
of years.
Seeds have.
As a matter of fact,
seeds,
they used to give the stuff away because it used to be considered a medicine. It used to actually be considered health.
So what
and
food
start that.
Using it? What food start using it for a drug to inject in their arm?
What fool?
Yeah, somebody has to be a fool to do that.
What fool decided to sell it to him?
Well, hell, if there's a market, somebody's always going to satisfy a market. But here's
here we
the point.
Go again. So it's
what
okay. It's okay. Oh, so
what
the
fool?
Man's a fool for using it, but the man's a fool for using it, but the man that sold it to him, he's doing what the market says, and that's a good thing, right?
The fool that started, the idiot person that started injecting heroin in their veins, man. Who told them to start doing that?
What about the guy selling it? Already got the skinny on the guy that's shooting into his veins, man. You made that perfectly clear. What you're not saying is, what about the guy that's selling it to him? What about the guy that's bringing it down from Afghanistan? What about the government that's letting it go on? You don't have anything to say about them, but the guy that's shooting it in his arm is a fool.
Right,
please.
As long as just like Mexico
please.
Said, Mexico, the Mexico said,
Mexico's economy was built on drugs.
Look,
but that's
ahead,
a good thing
get
for
done
you,
talking
huh?
As usual, and sometimes I think you might be on some of this stuff, man. Let me know when you're done talking.
And you know when I'm done talking. Oh, what am I talking too much for you? Because I keep asking you questions, giving you a chance to talk, and that's when you decide not to. When you want a filibuster, your mouth is running like your economy. But when I ask you a question, trying to get some information from you, that's when you want to shut up. Now, what is it going to be?
You just can't deal with Pianchi, can you?
Pianchi?
Stop.
I have no problem dealing with
you.
You
need to stop.
None whatsoever.
You can't be like me.
Me think thou don't think too much of yourself. Okay?
Now, when you get done talking, I'll finish.
Finish. What? Give me your historical diatribe. But ask a question for me before you start that. Please.
Okay, hold on. Let me take a quick break here, okay? Hold on, brother. Run this through you real fast, man.
Must love them, but elders have tried. They hadn't succeeded because they were blinded by greed. I give the youth man never chance, so we will advance. It's time to technology. There's no apology. Yeah. If the youth that knows the truth. Must reveal to the babes and children. It's the youth who know the truth. Yeah. Don't teach them war and hate. Teach them love.
Take it over, them couldn't make it over. Couldn't stretch it over, that one and him. So them couldn't cross the bridge to the dirty life. When enough of them a Libra, so far I
use the oh, Chef Rob Show. Wait a minute. Who's that? I think that's okay, I got it. Hey, brother, you still there?
Which brother?
Brother AC, Brother Pianchi.
Yeah.
I just put in the, well, I just put in the, and you know, and I've seen the use of, when I studied the Ebers Smith Papyrus, as they like to call it, it also mentioned the uses of a poppy seed back during the ancient Kemetic civilizations. So for today's society, a society is late to have started to using that as a drug, as the term drug is used today. Oh, how unfortunate, but it's a market. And whenever there's a market, somebody will take advantage of it. Just like gasoline.
Oh, drugs are like gasoline, huh?
It's a market.
Interesting.
It's a market.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know. That's what I said. I'm sure you feel.
Okay, so.
Okay,
hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me ask a question real fast. But who created this market? Okay. So, and then it's like, for what purpose?
Okay. The economy created the market. It always does. The economies create markets.
Who's the economy and who's the market?
Well, the economy is basically Pianchi's Ptah. That's his Ptah, the economy. And like I said, the economy created the market.
Back during the day, the Ptah.
Back during the day? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Back during the day.
Back during the day, the Ptah, the poppy seed was used as a sedative in ancient Kemetic societies, as was revealed in the Ebers Smith Papyrus, which goes back to about the 17th century before the Common Era.
Pianchi, guess what? The poppy seed is being used as a sedative today. So the use hasn't changed. It's just that now it costs about $100 million a month. So you said, I think. Because of the market.
Brother Pianchi, you still there?
I never said that the poppy seed market was $100 million. We said that the
$100 million
for United States is paying $100 million so that it's a NATO. Well, shall I say NATO is paying $100 million, so its supply lines coming through Pakistan so they can feed their troops in Afghanistan has been opened.
Oh, so you don't think the supply lines coming through Pakistan going down through Afghanistan have poppy seed product on them?
I wouldn't know.
That was bottom of my point.
Huh?
I think they do.
I would suggest they do.
That's why I said that for that 7 months that they weren't going ahead and sending that stuff across.
It created a problem, of course. The cuts started getting too thick. You know, they got to get some real before they can cut it and it won't shell. But anyway, like I was saying, I would definitely suggest that the poppy seed product, the sedative that you were talking about back during the time of Ptah, that's truly in effect today, is traveling on those lines that NATO has paid $100 million a month to keep open.
Yeah.
And it's all because the economy created the market. So, I really, there was a question that I wanted to ask Brother Pianchi. Would the fact that, you know, I did drugs make my opinion or my feelings any less significant?
Interesting. Brother Pianchi, you there?
Like
I said,
are you admitting that you done drugs?
I don't have to look. Is this an inquisition?
Well, I wouldn't know
I wouldn't know.
You know, me myself,
how you felt about my opinion or my feelings.
Me myself, I wouldn't know what heroin looked like if it was a fall on my head.
Well, it looked like a refined flour, actually.
I wouldn't know what heroin looked like. I wouldn't know what marijuana looked like. I wouldn't know What's some of that other stuff they be using?
Marijuana reminds me of philodendron, actually.
Like what?
See, marijuana, cocaine. Crack cocaine.
Crack cocaine. It looks like cracked off pieces of soap. I stole that from New Jack City. You know, you're spending too much time in the history and you're missing a lot of culture there, pal. All that stuff been played on TV, movies. You still don't know what it looks like?
I shot my TV back in about 1988.
Your TV.
I leveled off on it with a 20-gauge shotgun.
So there are some markets that you don't like, huh?
Haven't had one.
Oh, that's funny. Some markets you don't like?
That's funny. That's one thing that you won't find in my house is a TV.
Hmm.
You shot them all
that
or just the one?
A lot.
I shot the one.
You breaking
that
up, brother.
No, I shot the one. We didn't have a one TV.
Wow.
Hey. No, actually, TV can be an excellent informational source. But, you know, I guess you got your computers and your, personal assistants and stuff like that to funnel you information? So I guess a TV could be something that was, could be rendered useless as far as you're concerned. No problem. I mean, I don't think it's the greatest thing that ever hit this society either. So I have no problem with you not watching TV. You miss a lot, though. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on like that. But you don't go to movies either, I take it, huh? I mean, because all of this stuff is being portrayed in movies, up close and personal.
Let's see, what the last movie I went to?
Oh, God. So what do you do with all your money? Maybe you just do the charitable foundation thing?
Yeah,
you know,
I don't remember what last movie I went to.
Try to make more money.
I don't remember the last movie. Oh, yeah, I've seen that. What was the name of that movie? Doggone it. Shit. Douglas. Kirk Douglas played it. Rob, help me out there.
I couldn't.
Wall Street.
That was Michael Douglas, but I get you.
Michael Douglas, yeah.
Wall Street. Oh, yeah. Okay, Gordon Gekko. Yeah, I think I mentioned that once before. You do sound like one from the breed is good breed. Yeah.
So,
I sense that in you. Yeah.
So, Brother Priyanki, you got lessons from that movie? You learned something from that?
Well,
yeah.
I teach stocks and options a long time ago. I used to do it for free. I used to teach
he's been cutting head for a while now.
I used to teach advanced options, whereas those courses would cost you $14,000 on the weekend. There's another brother out of Alabama, Terry Harris. He taught me. Terry couldn't put two sentences together. He was an old country boy from Birmingham, but he knew options, and the SEC came after him because he was making black folks wealthy. He had like 43,000. Mostly African Americans across the country that was involved with him on auto trade dealing with options.
So what's the basics of that?
Well, options is just like if you was to, for instance, if you was to go to someone and tell them you wanted to buy their house, you say you want options to buy their house for a certain amount of money by a certain date. A certain time, well, you would pay them an option. And if you don't show up by that certain time and give them that certain amount of money, then they keep your option.
So Terry couldn't put two sentences together, huh?
Don't seem like it. For somebody up north, I understand.
I guess it was a matter of providence that he met you then, huh?
No, it wasn't a matter of providence. There's another young brother here that I have known for a while. He met Terry, and then he introduced Terry to me, and we had a you know, he had already had an organization that was going on. We introduced it to Syria. And people were doing very well. I taught it in schools. I taught it in Muhammad Academy. I was teaching it to some other students.
That's for $14,000 a weekend, huh?
No, that's what you would pay to learn advanced options.
That's what you were teaching?
I wasn't charging. I was teaching for free.
Oh, but that's what you were teaching, advanced options.
I was teaching stocks options and also advanced options.
Butterfly. Yeah, that's what spread. I said you were teaching, advanced options. Yeah.
Butterfly spreads, bull calls, bear calls, so on, so on, so on.
$14,000, I mean, for one individual, not a group.
That's what an individual would pay at some of these option schools, yeah.
Mm.
Up to that was a top, you know, you had a lot of them in between. Optionetics and companies like that, they're still existing.
I mean, what would be the average to go ahead and be successful when they come out of that? What's
well,
the percent?
People would sell a stock. If you sold a $20 stock, you could sell a $5 option on it when options first became popular here in the United States back in the 90s. And you could sell that option. See, options, stocks and options is very lucrative, but it was more lucrative back at that time. I wouldn't mess with it now because things all screwed up.
Yeah, see, that's what I was about to get to. So what's the new... I can't help but to go ahead and say this. What's the new scam?
Well, it ain't no scam. It ain't no scam. If you brought a scam, you would go to jail. SEC don't play.
Yeah, but, you know, it seems like they rigged the system anyway. So, you know, once they can start making money on Wall Street, they buy the politicians. The politicians go ahead and direct the rules in their direction. So, you know, boom, they make everything that was illegal at one time make it legal now. That's
SEC,
the way it looks to me.
SEC would lock up politicians.
And I know you like jail because jail is really a market.
Now, the other thing that's good is currency trading.
Not as good as jail.
Currency.
Like I said, I think so.
Currency against the other.
Okay, there was the stock options was in the 90s. Okay, so right now, you know, we had another.
I stock options still go on today. But,
yeah, I know. But each... Go ahead.
But they don't change the rules. So just like when 9/11 occurred and people bought puts, you know, call options protects you when stocks go up. And you make money is when the stock go up. Puts is when the stocks go down. You can buy a put or you can also sell a put, too. So you can sell a put when the stock price go up, you make money. You can buy a put when the stock price go down, you make money.
So you could have really made out then. Oh, my goodness.
People make out when 9/11 happened. That was the indicator, one of the indicators anyway. But something was going on.
Truth to Osama bin Laden buying a lot of puts.
I don't know
situation,
what was in,
as far as American Airlines and United Airlines were concerned.
Yeah, I heard a lot about those two airlines, but I don't know exactly what. I didn't follow him too much along those lines. My premise,
but there were obviously some people that would bet on. I mean, even if there would obviously be some people who would bet on the put,
make money on those things
on the airlines, even if they didn't know that this situation, that this 9/11 situation was going to occur. Right, there would be people making money if United stock and American stock or airline stock went down.
Oh yeah, a lot of people made a lot of money when that happened.
Yeah, right. All those people died and somebody made a lot of money off of it. That's real. I like, you know, that's real interesting thing to me, you know, how the economy just keeps on ticking regardless of what steps in front of it.
Well, it ain't about morals and praying and God. It's about the.
I'm not necessarily. So you have to pray to God to have morals. Is that the deal?
No, not necessarily.
Well, see, you know, in all honesty, brother, I'm trying to dump my morals, you know, because you know, they obviously put me in the wrong line in this situation, because you know, people who think like you do seem to be doing quite well, you know. And since you have no fear of an afterlife,
I'm not the only one that's doing well. There's a lot of young brothers that's doing
well.
You are, as
far as I'm concerned, you are one of the greatest representatives of what's going on that I've ever talked to in my life. You know, really.
Well, it depends.
You should feel proud about that. You know, you're doing the damn thing. Really. So what I'm saying is this.
This is not. There's a lot of young African Americans, and I've met them. I've met some on a cruise of all places. Brothers was making a lot of money doing this, and you'd be very surprised. I mean, things that I complain about, but you would be surprised at the things that black people like are in. You know, you'd be like people surprised that hey, you got black. Black individuals that's running companies that were putting up buildings like the World Trade Center.
Why would that surprise me?
Because people just don't imagine it.
Well, after having a black president, that stuff seems kind of easy to me.
Oh, this happened before a black president.
Well, but you're talking about what I can imagine now.
Well, I'm not talking about you in particular.
The next time I make a statement about you, please understand I'm not talking about you in particular either. Okay.
Your show called What's My Line? Did you remember that? Do you ever see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people would come on and the panel would try to guess what the person does,
mm-hmm.
and you know, some people were doing some things that just was astonishing. And people would try to guess what it is that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you just couldn't look at a person and say, oh, this person is a barber. Well, no, that person is not a barber. He may be, you know, something different. Hell, I like to tell the story about the young black kid child in Chicago during the time of the Manhattan Project before that, who actually built a model nuclear reactor on his living room floor. So you got a lot of people that's doing a lot of things, but not enough.
So exactly what direction would you like for things people to strive in now, brother? Which direction should they head in now?
The fact that we control the economy in our communities, especially as it pertains to food, is really, really sad. But I talked to a young man just getting out of the service who's going back to Texas. I talked to him today, and I'm supposed to get with him some more on this, who's going to go back into cattle ranching. He said it's something that he grew up at, and he's a young African-American. Well, he's about 40 years old. He's spent about 20 years in the service. So, I mean, that's something you can see more of us doing.
Cattle ranching.
Yeah, cattle ranching. Remember, I was looking for some dairy farmers, but he said he's going to do cattle ranching. He can tell me about what I need to know about dairy farming.
Mm-hmm. But he couldn't, well, the other one you... That's from the meat, and then the dairy is just for the from the cows. All right.
So we were talking about, guess what? School lunch, the cafeteria in public schools.
Right. I don't think Brother AC was here for that conversation.
Because
let me hear about the school lunches, man. I'm down for the kids.
Because you know, there is a movement. And I forget where it's going on. That's where they're trying to get back
to. Brother Bianchi,
yeah.
Tell them about Sodeco.
Wait, you tell them about Sudeikis.
that's what it was. We were talking. Remember when you were talking about that? And the AC, we were talking about how Sudeikis was in all the schools and how like Aramark and stuff like that's in the schools, especially in Chicago when they got big contract about that here, and there's no black companies that they went that they looked at, you know, so they gave it to this big company, the school lunch program, the school lunches and all that other stuff. And my experience with them, I had worked with a temporary agency as a chef, and man, Sudeikis ran the place, but they played up. They paid me pretty good money to go here and come over to this, what was it? I think it was Glenbard North.
Mm-hmm.
You know that area, right?
Yeah.
So I'm over there, man, and those kids was, we had to make stuff from scratch with them kids, man.
Okay.
Versus going here, coming to some of the city schools where they got they contracted part of it out to some garbage companies, and but you still got to go here and bring in Aramark food and everything, man. And so that what we were basically talking about was. That should have went to some black caterers and stuff. And I had mentioned that I had put in for some of those contracts. I was trying to bid on those contracts for a while.
Well, probably what you should have been talking about is the garbage companies that were supplying the inner city schools. But I understand that garbage is a market too.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. I don't have a list of the companies.
Well, see, what I had told you, I had talked to. I got this guy's name right here. He's with the Mississippi Family Farmers Association down in Mississippi. And it's also another person that's with the Federation of Southern Cooperative. The person that was with the Mississippi Family Association.
Links?
Well, yeah, I'll try to get him to you. He said that he was that their organization was already in discussion with some congregations in the Chicago area. About doing a contract, whereas the farmers that this organization represent, the black farmers that this organization represent, would transport food to an open air market that they're, conceiving on doing there in the Chicago area.
Yeah, I need to get some more information on there.
And in that
I saw some of the websites, but I got to send a proper letter to him, so I'll probably do that tonight. But the other one, what was that? What's the name? Boyd? That's his name, right?
Right, John Boyd.
I have been trying to contact him, and nobody replies over there. Even when I dial a number, man, it went to something else.
He's a hard person. He's a hard person to get a hold of.
Yeah, and the number is.
Another brother by the name of Gary Grant. Then there's Silas Muhammad, who owns, the Nation of Islam still owns a very large farm. And I think it's in Georgia. I'm not sure. But it needs to be a lot of effort to make this work in one particular school district, then for it to start catching on where in these major African-American school districts, we need to recapture that market that exists in those cafeterias, putting people to work and also supplying the produce, at least, from what's being produced by black farmers.
Yeah, I'd like to get involved in that. I'd like to go ahead and get some more information on that, man.
I could give you that.
Yeah. I want to go ahead and research that a whole lot more. It kind of feeds into something I'm trying to do a whole lot.
Well, no, you should look into it. Now, me, myself, I do not want to do this as a business, but I know it's something that needs to be done. And I'm willing to try to get something going along as far as that subject matter. But it's a lot of money. I mean, we just need to go back to the way we was doing things. And of course, this company... Sudeikis, it's got a terrible human rights record in its former Francophone colonies in Africa. And it just don't make no sense for these foreign companies to be taking the type of profits out of your community. That money's supposed to stay in there, whereas it can be utilized to do other things.
I have no problem with that. Damn, it sounds like I heard your heartbeat there for a minute, brother. Hey, that's honest. No, seriously. That stuff sounds good, brother. Really. All right, so get rid of Sodeco, get rid of Aramark, and sell some real food to the kids. I ain't mad. I ain't mad at all. Sound like a plan. I can get with that. What needs to be done? What would have to happen to make something truly, seriously? What would have to happen? What would have to take place?
Well,
in order
you
like
gotta,
that to
first of all, we got to have control of the school board.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
So you're going to have control of the school board? And
we're talking about individual school districts or, you know?
No, it has to be a school district. Can't be no individual school. So it's because the school board controls the individual schools that make up the difference, the district, that is.
Oh, so you're talking about well, in Chicago, it's Pershing Road. Is that what you're talking about, the Chicago Public School System school board?
Well, I'm not familiar with them, but you know, I had told him.
Well, that's the entity that runs the schools in the city of Chicago.
Well, yeah, that has to be. What you have to do is sit down and meet with some school board members, one on one, then as a small group, and bring this conversation up. It has to have a feasibility, some prices put on what it would cost in order to make this happen.
So, Chicago, that's a pretty big system there. So, I like the idea.
Yeah,
that makes it
a good system to take over, but, in the city of Chicago, the machine is alive and well.
Hold on, let me make my point. Hold on. But I think that going ahead and trying to target some of these smaller school districts would be even better because, you know, AC, like Fort Heights, Robbins, you know, even Maywood, maybe.
But for my money, Ford Heights and Robbins are not having the problems that they're having in Chicago.
True, but
as a matter of fact, they're trying to develop up to that problem, unfortunately.
They're trying to
get to that problem.
The big concern is about putting people back to work and also...
Well, actually the big concern is about saving lives, but I ain't mad at the job, so...
Yeah, putting people back in the community to work, and also buying local. Those are the two concerns right there, and I think that can sell, given the atmosphere and given the sentiment of people today, high unemployment, the fact that you don't have some studies come out talking about some of the stuff that the children is eating, the fact that black farmers have been pushed out of these other markets. Especially the global market, so they should be able to control their local markets.
Right, I ain't mad at that. I ain't mad at that. Black farmers have been getting the raw deal since sharecropping, so I'm not mad about that. Like I said, the city of Chicago school district, school board, is a behemoth. It would be extremely difficult to deal with that animal because the city of Chicago's machine is alive and well and running at full speed. It's all up in the economy. So
that's why I said to go ahead and try and target some of the smaller markets, them smaller
districts. Excuse me for wanting to hit it with, I mean, a good idea is a good idea. So excuse me for wanting to hit the largest portion of the society that I possibly could with a good idea.
Okay, so why don't you go ahead and try to do it so you can go ahead and send in a small group to go ahead and talk to the school board. So you got to go, maybe you can go ahead and send out that small group to go ahead and talk to the Chicago public school system school board, and then maybe send it at the same time, send some people out to another school district, but keep on targeting the area. And a lot of these people go ahead and they work in Chicago and live in these areas. So you're putting the buzz out in a smaller community. So it eventually will go ahead and come to Chicago, you don't think?
No. No. Because first of all, what you're trying to do is you're trying to introduce, you're trying to stick another line into this economy over somebody else's line.
No, man.
You know, whoever is hooked up with the city of Chicago, believe me, someone in the city of Chicago is getting paid for that. And if
of
what
course.
You do occurs, I mean, you act like this is a fair market.
No, it's not. That's why you got to go ahead and do stuff like that. You can't just go ahead and go, okay.
So if you
can't just go ahead and run to the street by yourself.
You
got to go ahead.
Somebody's going to let you run your pipe into their pipeline.
Hold on. But that's
basically siphoning off their business.
Oh, so we can't use any warfare?
What you got? What you got? I mean, the only thing that seems to work is cash flow. That's
okay.
All people are dealing with. And what's to keep them from picking your cash flow and still continue to do business as usual?
Mm.
Because, I mean, the only way that you can possibly do what it is you're talking about possibly doing is to come in from underneath, which means you don't want to be exposed, which means that somebody's going to have to get paid in order for you not to be exposed.
Mm-mm.
Because nobody's going to let you just plug into their system. The system is locked. I thought you knew that.
I don't disagree with that. I'm fully aware of that. But
there
are
other
ways and methods
to dealing with you.
You have to go ahead and analyze the whole situation, then go ahead and see what methods you can go ahead and use, but you can't go ahead and just go straight and rush the front door. You got to go ahead and try to figure
whatever
out a way to get in that
door. Whatever it is you do, you're knocking somebody else out the box, somebody important.
Well, you just going to have to knock them out. Ain't nothing wrong with that. They did it here in St. Louis.
It also has some safeguards. That's why you develop
okay.
plans.
It's your children, it's your school district, your board, and they need to do what they have to do.
No, it's not your board.
It is your board. It was our board here in the city of St. Louis.
Not your board.
It was their board in Detroit.
You better believe in Chicago it's not your board.
In 1994, in Chicago, just going to have to get left out because somebody's going to do this someplace.
Oh, they ain't gonna get left out. They gonna go ahead and see. They gonna figure out a way to get into that market and take it over.
Yeah, it can be taken over. It can be taken away
okay.
just like any other thing can.
Call me when they do.
Well, we want you to get in on the beginning so we can go ahead and hurry up and develop some safeguards.
Yeah, right.
Be the spokesperson.
So how do you get in? How do you get in?
That's what we ask. I'm asking you too. But we got you can't go ahead and throw that idea out the window. We got to sit down and talk and go ahead and figure out a way to get in. Everybody got some experience with that.
Yeah, from the inside looking out.
Right. Exactly.
I was associated with an administration. A new administration came in. My administration was booted out. What?
Didn't learn
That's
anything?
That's the way it happened.
You didn't learn anything?
Mm-hmm.
What you learn?
You better deal with something that's a little bit more independent than political economic markets. Markets controlled by politics are very difficult to break into. When you do break into them, your stay there is for a short period of time because the politics always changes. That's the thing about politics. You're talking about a school district. You're talking about a school board. Well, in the city of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel is going to be mayor until he decides that he doesn't want to be. Now, if you got an in with Rahm Emanuel, you got a chance.
Okay,
you got people in this stuff is plotted
okay, so
out already.
Hey, wait, you figured out their system, so why you can't apply it to people that look like you?
In what perspective? People that look like me don't run the school board.
That's where we need to get people that look like you on the school board.
Okay.
So how are we going to do
school board law?
Huh?
It's not an election. It's an appointment.
That's right.
Even if they say it's an election.
Apparently some congregations up there in that area that's already talking along these lines need to find out who they are. And
By congregations, you mean churches?
Yeah.
Are you talking about churches?
Right. The guy told me he was talking to some black churches there in the Chicago area.
Which guy told you that?
The one that's with the Mississippi Family Farmers Association.
So you do financial dealings with black churches, with churches.
Oh, well, why not? They got money to spend.
No, I'm asking the question.
They
I'm
got
the question.
And they talking about controlling their own economic market.
So you do business with black with churches. Yeah, that's all I was asking. Now my next question is: did you ever tell them about your God creating man creating God theory? You have a discussion with them about that?
I did with one preacher one time. He said, "You are absolutely right. What I've been preaching is a lie."
Okay. Oh, really? The preacher told you that what he had been preaching was a lie?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. All right.
That's another story, though.
Yeah, I bet it is. That's really another story.
Of course, he did. Now.
That's a story. The preacher told you that what he was preaching was a lie.
Why you don't believe that, man? Why you don't believe that? That can happen.
It happened to you too? It happened to you too?
That's not what I said.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to tell you. Why don't you go have a conversation with our uncle and make him tell you that what he's been preaching is a lie? How about that?
You know what he told me, man?
No, I don't want to know what he told you.
He told somebody else. He felt I was disrespecting him.
Huh?
He felt I was disrespecting him.
You probably were.
Oh, come on. No. Anyway, man.
Right. Right.
Quit that,
so,
man.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
but
I want to learn more
like
about
said.
This Mississippi
Family
Association.
I'm supposed to contact them next week, so I'll let you know if I can find out who the congregation is up there in your town.
You know, please make me a party to that conversation, please. I mean, you know, that like I said, you know, if there's a way in, I'm sure I'll be able to find it. You know, there's a hole. I can deal with that. But like I said, that would be something I would really be interested in my golden years. Doing something that's going to benefit the children. I'm not going to knock the money. You know, I mean.
And see, why it would work good with the congregation, Rob, is because they're seeking to do a contract to have produce provided for their open market. And at the same time, you got the food, you got that load being distributed to the city. And at the same time, it's part of that load could be targeted to the school, one of the schools that's going to, you know, start preparing food there for the children in-house.
You know,
hiring people from the community.
The problem that I have is I think that in the beginning it's going to be limited, okay, by preparing stuff. You're going to be shipping a limited amount of produce.
Well, no, it would be a menu. I mean, just like this company's doing, they have a menu for every day of the week.
Okay, that makes sense.
Just look at the menu and fix up the food like they do.
I like to see how broad that menu is, what kind of meals they have.
Well, it's terrible.
Even though you go here and you bring in fresh produce, it's how they prepare it and what they're putting with it.
And it can go beyond produce. It can be meat or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is.
I'm going to have to check into that, man.
And here's the point, too, is that so much emphasis. I just read something today. I didn't read, I heard something today where there's a lot of emphasis going on with what the children is eating. Even to the point where they're talking about having laws on what children eat and what people eat. So there's a lot of emphasis going on now. You know, when I was coming up, they was preaching four meals a day.
I mean,
but now since then they came along and said that was wrong. And I don't pay no attention to what they say anyway. We shouldn't really. What your children need should be based on their culture experience. You know, black children are not going to be eating what Italians eat. They're not going to be eating what Bosnians eat. They're going to be eating what based on their culture experience, and that's what it should be.
So we should go ahead and experiment. Maybe go ahead and some of the stuff that okay, Brother Bianchi. Okay, I don't think it's that. How do I put this? It's okay to go ahead and experience some of those other cultures, and you know, as far as the food's concerned, is that what you're saying?
Well, I wouldn't do it in school. No, I prepare.
Oh.
I would do it in our schools. I would prepare our own cultural cuisines for our children in our schools. And if
okay.
you want the, if you want to get into vegetarian food, you got the Hebrew Israelites there on 76th Street. You know, 75th. You got 75th Street. Okay, I'm sorry. So we have everything that we need in order to make the changes that's necessary and take control of our own economy. For some reason or another, we're scared to do it. I want to meet this boogeyman that everybody's afraid of.
Might be AC.
No, I would suggest that the brother knows the boogeyman personally. He works for him. I mean, it's the same boogeyman. Hey. It's your beloved economy, man. That's the way. That's what's been. That's why everything is messed up like it is now. That's why the people that you suggest should be in those slots aren't. I mean, that's why they're getting inferior products in those slots because, I mean, you know, like you said, there's a market. Well, either you or Chef Rob, there's a market for garbage. No, that's Chef Rob. There's a market for garbage. So
there's
some garbage where they can sell garbage.
You only know what you think you know.
With AC and Brother Pianchi has chimed in. I'm going to open everybody's line. Let us know what you think about the conversation. What you might add or take away from the conversation. I have 224, your line is open, and 706. Hello, everybody. Is everybody there?
You know, another thing too, that's why it's very important that those school districts put in those so-called minority hiring goals, as they like to call them, and the percentages should be very, very high, upwards of 40%. And it should not just be on construction, but it should also be along the lines of supplying books, desks, food service, janitorial service, on every damn thing. I don't know why come blacks sit on these damn boards and just let these outside firms come in and take the money like that. It just don't make no damn sense.
If there's anything that irks me. A lot of people don't know about it, but it's like one thing, it's called RFPs, Requests for Proposals. And people need to look that up. Requests for proposals, and you can go ahead and look for them different contracts and stuff on toilet paper and doorknobs and stuff. Man, I was checking that out. That was pretty wild. But every city, every county, every state has them. Yeah, RFPs. People need to look that up.
Yeah,
you deal with them, Bianchi?
Yeah, we have requests for proposals. But the thing is that schools need to set these policies in place. And it's the same thing with the federal government. One thing that I mentioned about what Obama should do, you know, the federal government have those minority goals too, but they so then, well, see, when they was put in place, they was put in place in the, like in the 80s, maybe even as early as some of the latter part of the 70s. And they was put in place because in many of these areas, there weren't no blacks. So whites put them in there, like for instance, in the area that I stay, and they said the goals were like 14.7%. Well, hell, you got one town where the population is like 90-some-odd% black, and they're saying that even though you have a work crew that's well-trained, that's ready to go to work, that's drug-tested, that out of 100 of them, you can only hire 14 of them in a city that's entirely black, and at the same time, you're going to have white workers that's going to commute from other parts of the state, from all white communities, going to commute into this black community and take these jobs, and blacks who are ready, prepared, and trained are going to stand on the sidelines. That's a bunch of crap.
It is. What do you think about that, AC?
The brother's upset. That's interesting.
That's interesting.
So that should change. And see, I say it should be based on the locale where this stuff is going on. And you know, you got in Chicago, for instance, if you done work on the Dan Ryan, what's the population of blacks in Chicago? Let's look at Detroit, for instance, Highway 75. If you're doing work on Highway 75, putting in bridges, well, what's the population of Detroit? And how in the heck are you going to have a 25% minority go, 25% blacks, that's coming out of a city that's 99% black? Now, of course, when that project move on out into the outlying areas, well, it's different. But when you come in my house, I'm not going to sit by and let somebody else take the best portion of the turkey, the drumsticks, and the breast, and I get the wings and whatever.
Turkey butt. Turkey butt. I'm waiting for you, AC.
Waiting for what? I'm not going to argue with the brother about his plans for, you know, for handling the economy. What are you waiting for me to say? I can't disagree with anything that he said, but I know one thing, his goals won't be accomplished.
But I know you got something to add to it, because you got a plan too, don't you?
Yeah, you know my plan. Well, you know, look, you know, somehow, some way.
You can just highlight
figure
it.
You can just highlight it.
You hear me?
Just highlight.
Just go ahead and show, you know, some bright spots.
Yeah. Well, somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow, some way, you figure out a way to relieve the disparity. You figure out a way. I mean, you have to back this system up before it can really go forward. And, you know, I mean, even the grand economists should realize that if you want this economy to really boom, you have to get more people involved. In order for more people to get involved, it has to be an equitable involvement. It's just that simple. You have to be fair. And the only way that you can be fair at this point in time is to back some people up and get some other people to get in the step. And then everybody marches along and everybody benefits from the situation. As it stands now, a few people benefit from it, and most people don't.
Well, you know, here in St. Louis Public School District, they demand that bids come in, and those general contractors have to reveal who's who. And if the bids don't come in the way that hitting the numbers that they supposedly hit, the 40% here and there, then what the school districts say, we're going to put the bid back out on the street. And that's one thing the contractors don't want, is their number to be put back out on the street where everybody can see it, especially their competitors.
So, okay, one question. Okay, you were talking, when you were speaking about Detroit, you were talking about a 99% African-American, 99% African-American citizenry. And how much was the percentage of, say, construction business? I-75, how much a percentage were the African-American community getting?
Detroit City Council was scheming up a plan of minority participation that was totally ridiculous. I mean, something like 25% for disadvantaged business and MBEs and DBEs and female.
Did I not just hear your estimates only climb as high as in the situation that you were talking about? Only climb as high as 40%. I'm so tired of these fireworks. Damn it. I'm wondering, 40%, isn't that kind of low when you're talking about the general population being almost completely black?
That's what they headed here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on, man.
So, yeah.
Jackie, you've been quiet a whole long time. You going to say something?
Jackie's on? Sister.
Hey, sister, how you doing? She's been there for a minute.
Okay, well, you know.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay, you don't have to destroy the system, which I would love, because, you know, I figured that, you know, after you raise the earth, then you can just start all over again and build completely anew. But if you want to keep this, you know what, actually, if this system was a lot more equitable, if it worked for more people, obviously more people would be amenable to its continuation. That's only common sense. And if you, it seems to me that in an economic situation, if you get, I mean, you know, you're allowing too many people to be doing negative things and still, you know, work within this economy. Now, I mean, you know, that's the way I feel about it.
But I think common. Do you agree that common sense has been replaced with greed? and then
people always have been greedy, now, Rob. But here's the point. Yeah, people have always been greedy. I mean, that's, I can give you some examples of that. But the thing is that if you, I mean, in your house, that's your house. See, these people are going to come in and take and be gone. You still got to live with the repercussions of things not going the way they should have went. Otherwise,
okay,
your children are going to get to a point and they're going to look around and say, why come you didn't do something for me?
Well, wait a minute now. You know, the analogy sounds idyllic, you know. I mean, it sounds good, but, you know, this your house situation, it doesn't exist. You know that, right? I mean,
yeah.
you may be able to say that with confidence, but there's no situation where black people are actually making decisions like that, especially, I mean, if you're talking about towns like Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, whatever. There are no situations where black people are making those decisions, where they are actually operating the throttles of power. It's not our house.
Local power.
At best, we're renters.
Yes, there is places where black folks at a local level, they control.
I'm talking about the economy
in that community.
Not even in Atlanta.
Well, in certain aspects, well, I tell you what, Maynard Jackson done a damn good job in Atlanta. He didn't, they didn't write anything. He said this is, when they was doing the airport in Atlanta, Maynard said this is what's going to go to black contractors. And that's what he said, and that's what happened. He created the millionaires. And he was wise at doing it. If you're a politician, you got to create the business people that's going to support your campaigns in the future.
And that's exactly what's wrong with this economy, because there's not enough Maynard Jacksons in there trying to do exactly what he did. I mean,
well,
I agree with the concept of creating a more diverse millionaire club, if you will. I'm down for that, you know. I mean, because since the only thing that people involved in this economy seems to listen to is money, you have to have some black people with money speaking for black people, and we're gonna go back to the Chris Rock thing on that. Chris Rock says what he says, and he's a black man with money, but yeah, I guarantee you he's not putting his money where his mouth is.
Well,
he's not advocating for Chris Rock. And that's true of most black people in positions of power, with the exception of maybe Maynard Jackson.
I'm going to have to admit to you, I wouldn't be able to tell Chris Rock from a lineup or anybody else, because I just don't know who the hell he is. I heard the name before.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is this, just like we complain about media, well, if you don't have businesses that's buying advertising, that you can threaten to pull your advertising. The only reason why come Rush Limbaugh changed his tone toward the one lady that he called slut is because he lost 30 advertisement spots. And when that happened, even Rush Limbaugh changed his tones. Imus done the same thing. So when
but
you
he
start,
didn't, but, they, but neither one of them changed their mind. They still feel the same way. So the concept, I mean, that's hypocrisy. I mean, if you are now saying things differently and still feeling the way you felt before, that's hypocrisy. You can keep your hypocrisy.
Ooh.
On every level. You know?
How many people stand there at the ceremony of matrimony and say I do, but really don't mean it? Is that not
that's
hypocrisy?
A different situation? They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, hypocrisy is hypocrisy.
No. That's idiocy. That's not hypocrisy. There's a difference. Those people have absolutely positively.
When someone says one thing and do another, you say that's not hypocrisy.
No. It's not always hypocrisy. In a situation where you're deriving a benefit from it, that would more or less suggest the hypocrisy.
So
like I said, people who get married, and don't really they don't even know, they don't even understand the vows they're saying. In most situations now, they want to change the vows and write their own. So that shows you how much they care about the vows of marriage. So people who are, I mean, the vows of marriage state specific things for specific reasons. So if you're going to get married, you should understand what's being said. People just don't. That's not the same as saying something and then turning your tail just because you're losing money on the deal.
So when the United States was throwing out that old slogan of human rights to other countries, and other countries would turn around and say, well, look at your blacks here in America. So the United States wasn't taking on the position of hypocrisy, telling other countries that they are violating their human rights, especially South Africa, apartheid government at the time.
No.
Both the speeches out there. You can read it. Both to say, how dare you tell us and how you treating your blacks in America.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing about that, brother, is they covered their they assuaged their feelings of guilt about that situation by calling it a civil right as opposed to human rights.
Not about that.
That's the way they mitigated the situation.
Give an example of hypocrisy.
They called it civil rights, which meant that it was a United States problem as far as human rights, which would have made it a world problem.
That's not how they handled that. That's not the point. The point is that the U.S. was acting in a hypocritical stance.
That's what they did.
Well, we was talking about hypocrisy. Nobody was talking about no human rights.
You were trying to make a comparison to something else that I was suggesting that wasn't hypocrisy, and now I'm telling you about something that might have qualified for hypocrisy, but I'm telling you how they dealt with it.
Rob, you might want to come in on this, too. I said that when people say something and act different than other than they say, that's hypocrisy. And you said it wasn't.
Who said it wasn't?
You.
Who did?
No.
Okay.
You said, the question that you raised was, what about all of these people who said I do? And I told you that was a different situation.
Hey, okay.
That was idiocy.
Hold on. So, AC, what did you say idiocy was?
Huh?
What did you say?
I was trying to explain that, but the brother kept filibustering. The idiocy is that most people who get married have no idea what wedding vows are about. They say them. They say them as a part of course, and they pay no attention to what it is that they're saying. Hell, I've been guilty of that shit twice. So, that's not the same as hypocrisy. Most of the time, when you're committing a hypocrisy, there is a gain. In most instances, in this society, financial, at least political.
I guess I don't fall in that most because I was with my one lady for almost 45 years.
Congratulations! You said was.
That's because she passed away.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that. Congratulations. I mean, you are. I hope that you understand. Obviously, you are the exception as opposed to the rule.
Not in my neighborhood.
I don't think that was a good example. Most people don't get married to get divorced.
Hello, Jackie. We've been waiting for you.
But most people get married and get divorced.
I said I don't think people get married to get divorced. I don't think that
That's all fine and good, sister, but they get married and get divorced.
I don't think that why they're taking a vow, at that moment they're taking a vow, they're planning a divorce.
Well, does it make a difference if you're not planning a divorce when you take the vows, but you wind up getting a divorce anyway? Does it make a difference what your plans were?
Well, I can't remember which one of you said it. You said it's hypocrisy, and I'm just saying that I don't think so because I don't think that when you take the vow, you plan to get divorced.
I said it was idiocy. I said, you know, the people don't understand what marriage vows are about.
I said that when a person say I do and don't mean it, is that not hypocrisy?
I would rather call it idiocy.
My daughter, see, in our household, in our family, if the father don't want the daughter to marry into another family, don't happen. My daughter came to me with two suggestions, and I said no. Then she came with the third one. And about 3 months
later. Say that with pride.
And about 3 months later, 3 months later, I said, you know, you got a way of cutting people off, don't you? Is that your form of filibuster?
You proud of that? You proud of the fact that you told your daughter who she couldn't marry?
That you filibuster like that?
No, I'm asking you if you're proud of the fact that you told your daughter who she couldn't marry.
But you have more than just yourself that's trying to learn what it
oh,
is.
Oh, really?
Say.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you would talk to me about learning. When I was trying to get some knowledge from me, you told me to get it on my own.
Let me finish telling my story. So as I said before, the one that she married, I said that was okay after about 3 months. So that is something that I think that should be played out more often than not.
Can because I give you a definition of hypocrisy?
Sure.
Somebody just posted something wrong. Hypocrisy, an expression of agreement that is not supported by real conviction.
I agree.
Brother Panicky? Sister Jackie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so?
So, like I said, I don't think people say I do, which was the example that the brother brought up. I don't think that they're acting hypocritically. I think they honestly want to be married, but I don't think they understand the vows that they're taking.
I think it's honest to us. I don't think that was a good example.
No?
I mean,
okay,
Rob,
Jackie, can you give us an example then?
You remember your wedding vows?
Cool.
Just go through them, and you realize how extensive and how important all of that stuff is that you're vowing to do, that you're swearing to do.
Mm.
I don't think anybody enters a situation that being hypocritical.
Well, I just had a friend of mine, wife just died of breast cancer, and he was there with her to the last minute. So they did live out their vows. He would cook for her. And even before she became sick, Dave would be over at the house fixing his wife breakfast, dinner, and so on, so on, so on. So the people that I know more than not do live out the vows that they make.
Well, why did you give that example?
Pardon me?
Well, why did you give that example?
Well, I know more of that than I don't know. I know more people who have married and stayed married than I know who have divorced.
That's what I'm saying. If that's the case, why did you give that example?
You're the one that brought up the I do's as a way of being hypocritical.
Yeah, why give that example if most of the people you know, they get married for the right reasons and stay together?
Well, I gave the example because apparently you have more people divorcing today than staying married. But
I don't think that people divorce because they said I do. But at the time they said I do, they really didn't mean it. I don't think that's why people divorce.
Hmm.
AC, why do people get divorced?
Why do people get divorced? Because they don't. I mean, if you ask me, it's because they didn't understand what they were getting into. That's what I said. They didn't understand what they were getting into in the first place.
Well, that's not. I'm sorry.
You asked me. Yeah. If you read the wedding vows, those are some lofty goals, man. Come on. I mean, you just don't up and do that unless you're bad. And most people are bad. What? That's some hard stuff, love, honor, and cherish. Better or worse, rich or poor, that would really be a problem for Brother Pianchi. Sickness and health, till death do you part. Do you understand what that means? Obviously, most people don't, because most people are getting divorced now. And it's not because something, except for the brother. And like I said, I'm sorry about your loss, but You got to till death do you part down pat. I applaud you because most people don't understand what that means. And that's why they wind up getting divorced. They don't understand the vows.
Well, really, when you do this, when the surveys are taken, one of the major reasons because of divorce is because of finances.
So, brother, are you going to suggest that doesn't go back to exactly what I just said? It says for richer or for poor. That doesn't cover the finance thing for you?
You said it. Absolutely covers the finance. But the reason why it comes
exactly.
in, and see,
but the finances are not supposed to play a part as to whether or not you stay with the one that you marry. The vows take care of that. So if people get divorced because of finance, they basically don't understand the wedding vows, which was my point. The wedding vows cover everything. So if you're going to take those vows, if you're going to say your I do's, then understand what you're saying here. No one tries to live up to their word anymore. That's outlandish. That's out of the question. So how is a marriage going to succeed? Nobody's into keeping their word. That's the thing of the past, actually. Yeah, you're about to elect a man, or they might possibly elect a man president that has flipped and flopped on every issue that's come his way. The last president they elected flat out lied to them, and they want to build highways and name colleges after him. So, you know, your word doesn't, you know, like I said, and it's such an important institution. I believe that marriage is the thing. And like I said, I applaud the brother for doing what he was supposed to do when he got married.
Hey. Let me take a quick break, people. What do I have here? Right here. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Found my road. Can't tell you no. Just to lose all the truth. You have found my road.
back to the Chef Rob show. Kind of felt that song was appropriate.
Huh? Well, I'm not going to complain about it. I thought it was the bizon, so I enjoyed the hell out of it. Do your thing, Rob. Do your thing.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, man. You know, you were mentioning them damn fireworks, man. How you coping with that, man? You want to throw something back or what?
No, man. You know, we did it. I'm sure that I know we pissed off our elders when we did it. So now
right.
I'm an elder and they're pissing me off. Okay. It's you know, it's the same with music, man. The stuff
when you that cranky ass old man, is that what you telling?
Huh?
You that cranky ass old man, is that what you telling?
No, I'm that dirty ass old man though.
Well, you a single man, right, AC?
Yeah.
When you go and you spend time in the, you retired from the military, right?
Not retired, but I served military time. Yeah.
Well, aren't you gonna remarry?
No, I think there's some other situations involved. Is that like I said, I know how difficult it is for someone to keep their vows, and being involved with me would possibly make it damn near impossible.
Well,
you're not the only one that I have a difficulty, you know, seeing eye to eye with. So.
Yeah. Well, why you want to die and give those spousal benefits back to the man?
Why do I want to die and do what?
I say, why are you going to just die and give those spousal benefits back to the man? Wouldn't it be right to marry
him? Number one, I don't approach my death as if it's some type of financial windfall for somebody, brother. You know? What spousal benefits are you talking about?
I mean, you got Social Security, you got the spousal benefits applying to your military pension.
Are you trying to suggest that I should marry somebody just so they can get my Social Security when I die?
Oh, absolutely. Why would you give it back to the man?
Right.
I'm going to do
it. You know what? I'm going to leave that alone. Because he's right about now.
Because all these young people
I could say some real offensive shit to you, but I'm going to leave that alone. You know, you didn't hear that conversation. The last time I talked to the brother Rob, I was telling him that my four cornerstones at the how I try to live my life. I try to be good. I try to be right. I try to be truthful. I try to be factual. I try extremely hard for all four of those things. See, and some of the stuff that you're suggesting right now, like I said, you know, the perfect score for me is when you hit the bullseye on all four. When you are able to do something in the vein of being right, factual, good, and truthful. See what I'm saying?
Well, here's
a lot of the things that you say, they may be truthful, they may be factual, but they're not good and they're not right. So you're about 50% most of the time. And then you fall down to
25%. AC, here's the point. I don't need your credibility.
That's my
question. Yeah, but I don't need your validity for me to do what I got to do.
And I don't need yours.
You know,
I was just trying to give you a little insight into me. I wasn't trying to validate anything that you were doing. I was trying to give you some insight into me. I told you my four cornerstones. I damn sure to expect you to live like that. You live the way you want to live. I mean, because like I could never see telling my daughter who she could and couldn't marry. I could make suggestions. You know, I might even go to deep end and make sure that she can't marry him, but I'd never let her know that. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, like I said, I'd never tell her, no, you can't marry. You know what, she thinks she loves this guy, and you come along and just say, well, no, you can't marry. Twice. Or wasn't she marrying for love? I'm finished.
Really? You done talking?
He said it was finished.
See, it's one thing that my daughter could always look to. She could look to her mother and her father, who was together for a long time. So maybe your daughter did not have that to look to. But on the other thing about the pension, I mean, marry somebody, you don't even have to stay with them. But you would be leaving that pension, that spousal benefits, to some young lady, and I'm sure you're not marrying no man, but some young lady that would able to do something with that money, helping her raise her children, or paying for a house, or paying for education. And that's what I'm going to
so
have to
I
do.
So I should marry somebody for their financial gain. Oh, you've already said yes to that question, so why am I repeating it? Okay, well, I tell you what.
No, I don't care what you do, really.
No,
you do
see,
what you want to.
Don't think any suggestions to you. Well,
because
you know what? I think that's another difference between us, because I kind of care what you do. See, because what I'm hearing you saying is that your consolation prize with the death of your wife, and I really didn't want to go into this, but your consolation prize was the fact that she left you money. I mean, that's what you're telling me with your conversation now. I didn't want to go there, but you keep bringing this stuff up. And I take it you're a man who practices what he preaches.
I didn't get that. I was getting more, maybe that's why he can see why people make a vow that they don't mean.
No, this man said he stayed with his wife for 45 years and she passed. Now he's telling me about spousal benefits. I think it's a clear connection. I think there's a definite nexus there. What? I didn't make this stuff up. This is out of his mouth. Goodness gracious.
Rob, you still there?
I'm still here. I'm listening.
You get the point of what I was talking about, don't you?
I get that. I get his too. But because my question quickly was, okay, so we can kind of answer that. So that spousal support, you're talking about the Social Security?
Social Security, pension?
Pension. So what happens?
Marry somebody so they can get that.
Hold on. What happens after you go ahead and divorce?
Divorce is different. You know, the previous spouse would be entitled to what was accumulated while the two of you was together. But I'm saying that there's been cases here that I know people that even women have done it that had a pension, and the pension had spousal benefits in case the main wage earner was to pass away. The spouse would get half of the pension or three quarters of the pension that that the original wage earner was getting. And they would marry somebody. It's the same way I know you've heard of people willing their homes over to the church.
You know, I was looking at was when you were saying it was more of like passing wealth on, keeping wealth going, in a sense.
Oh, absolutely. That's what it's all about, keeping wealth going and passing wealth on so that somebody can be able to utilize it and don't let it just go to a point of not being there for nobody.
So much so that I should become hypocritical about my wedding vows and marry someone so I can perpetuate your money machine.
Well, you know, if you got that kind of agreement, I ain't got no problem with it. That's what, ain't that what prenuptials are? You have that there?
Well, who said anything about signing a prenuptial?
I mean, what's the difference? I mean,
Jackie, tell Rob what's the difference what do you believe you're saying when you sign a prenuptial agreement?
What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours.
So
and don't people go into relationships like that? And they go into marriage like that?
How does that fit in line with the vows of marriage? What's mine is mine and what's yours is yours.
But shouldn't they coincide in just that all that had the marriage vows and the prenuptial, shouldn't they go ahead and pretty much say almost the same thing?
The answer that I was actually looking for is, it sounds like you're preordaining divorce. It sounds
no.
like you're setting the situation up.
Anyway, you know it.
What's a prenuptial agreement, Rob?
You have to still got to go ahead and look out for a future.
What's a prenuptial agreement?
You said you got divorced two times, so you still have to look out for
you. It always amazes me.
It's like getting insurance. Okay, what if this happens?
I don't know. He might
and?
Be paying alimony.
No. Oh, so you're filling out an insurance policy on your wedding. Is that what you're saying?
Well, people do it.
No. I ask you if that's what you're saying. You're filling out an insurance policy on your wedding. The insurance is designed to protect you against exactly what?
Heartbreak.
Heartbreak my ass. What's the word?
Heartbreak.
Do you want to play games, see? Heartbreak. Yeah, right. There's no heart involved if you sign in the prenuptial agreement.
I don't want my heart broken.
Right. Heartbreak. See, you know.
Jackie,
are you
a single woman?
There's people like you who run this economy, which is why it's being run into the ground. You wouldn't know the truth if you tripped over it. You know, well,
the
prenuptial agreement protects you against divorce. That's the only reason it's designed for. And you want to talk about heartbreak? Oh, please.
Jackie.
Come on.
Yeah.
Are you married?
No.
Let me ask you a question. On what I just got you talking about, do you see the values? If somebody was, say, an elder person that was single and was in a position where they're not married, but they have, based on their pension and, of course, Social Security, that it has a lot of spousal benefits. If somebody came and said, Jackie, I'm going to marry you so that you would be entitled to these spousal benefits, we don't even have to stay together. But I hope that you can use this to better your life at the point in time when you start receiving it. You see anything wrong with that?
This man is trying to corrupt the wedding vows. Jackie, what he's actually saying is...
Let her answer the question. Hold on.
He wants you to marry somebody so that they can get your money if you die.
You corrupting manners.
Hold on, AC, hold on. Let Jackie answer.
The manner thing is ridiculous, man. Don't even try that.
Hold on.
Three episodes ago. Manners.
Hold on, AC. Now, Jackie, can you answer that question?
It depends on if I was in a situation where I needed it. If I really needed it, I probably would do it, but just me being me, nah, I wouldn't even want to do that.
So you would, so it would be okay with you that he die and just give the pensions, the spousal portion of the pension back to the days that we always complain about?
Nah, I'm pretty sure somebody would want it.
All right.
This brother's trying to count money he doesn't even have. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, brother. What were the reasons you asked your daughters not to be involved with the guys that you said you asked her not to be involved with?
No, we don't. We marry families. Families marry.
Okay. So why did you suggest that she not marry these guys was a question. Families married doesn't actually answer the question.
Hold on. Hey, Bianchi, you're basing this, you know, how your daughter marries. That's like a cultural thing or something? What are you basing that on?
Oh, absolutely, it's a cultural thing. Families marry. People will marry for love. Hey, you know, we had an Arab here that killed his daughter because she was dating a black man. So, wait.
If you don't marry for love, then why would you get a divorce?
Why would you get a divorce?
Yeah.
Good question, sister. It makes sense to me. I mean, since you're not marrying for love, why wouldn't you just say married to somebody regardless of what the hell it is they did to you?
In our family, there's never been any divorces.
Okay.
Can I ask the question again? What was the criteria that determined that the two men you decided weren't worthy to marry your daughter were dismissed?
Problem in the families.
Problem in the families.
Yeah, and that's all you need
to
know.
That's kind of a generic. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
So that leads me to, okay, so that's all the information that you're giving me. So from what it is that you've said in your conversation, let me tell you this. I've gleaned from this situation.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question. Brother Pianchi, you said the problem's in the family. Okay, so does that just mean, like, you know, in the immediate family or the extended family, cousins and stuff like that?
One case it ran pretty deep.
So how could you judge what the extended family has done?
As I say, in one case it ran pretty deep.
So and just because one of the young men that you rejected for your daughter, and if that was his, that part I don't understand. If it was his extended family. Okay, so I don't understand the rejection in the extended family. I might understand.
You have to deal with the immediate family before you even get to the point where you deal with an extended family. In some cases, there was no extended. It was a mess.
A mess.
Let me see. You in Chicago? I don't know any names up there. Well, how about Lucas? Was Lucas from Chicago?
No, this is New York.
New York? Would you want your daughter to marry into that family?
Wait, say that again, you're breaking up.
I said, would you want your daughter to marry into the Lucas family?
Which Lucas?
Hey, see, I'm talking to Rob.
Hello. You talking about the drug kingpin?
Yeah.
Right. Frank, that's the one you're talking about, AC. And he's from New York.
So
and you, as far as me marrying, my daughter married into that, no.
Wait a minute.
I don't have a daughter, so I don't know how.
Are you suggesting that you wouldn't want your daughter to marry Frank Lucas?
Who are you talking to, Ace? Who are you talking to Rob?
I'm talking to you, bro.
I'm talking to you.
You
don't have anything.
You wouldn't want your daughter to.
I don't have anything. I don't have any response to that question. But Rob, on the point, if given everything was, and you did have a daughter, would you?
I don't know.
Worse than that.
Rob, the brother was worth $250 million when they caught him.
Yeah, you know, looking out for a future, you know, taking care financially.
Your brother's cracked me up.
I've seen it kind of rough, but I understood
what he said about the family marrying the family. I understood that, so I understood your line of questioning, but I mean, like, Bill was saying earlier, there's no, especially now today with the whole gay people marrying, there is no definition of marriage anymore. Your definition of marriage could be wherever you came from. So most people, like, you think in the older times you did marry a family. People don't marry families no more. I think that tradition is kind of lost.
I don't know about my.
Can some people still practice that tradition, sister? I mean, I understand it's being lost, but can.
Yeah, they do. Not too long ago down here in Georgia, matter of fact, it was a couple of cases. I know that a man married some lady, and she got pregnant. She was black, and they were like Middle Eastern, and she was pregnant, and the father had her killed. And then there was another story where a lady didn't want to marry who her father wanted her to marry, so he had her brothers kill her.
Yeah. And like I said here in St. Louis, this daughter was dating this black man, and the father had the daughter killed. So yes, those things go on, and I mean, so be it.
Mm-hmm. There was a case also in Canada, right, where it was the guy had killed, I think, both his daughters. And when they came and checked on the whole situation, he was living there with two or three wives. And that wasn't the first time. He had already killed, like, one of the other daughters way before they moved to Canada. He killed her in I think it was they were living in the U.S. But the thing about it is I don't know about killing my daughter either. I don't know about.
Well, let me ask you a question. You ever think you see a black man in Southside Chicago walking down the matrimony aisle with a Rothschild, a Rockefeller on his arm?
I didn't live on the South Side, and I'm just messing people over there. It's some people that might be able to do that. It's possible.
So let me ask you something, Brother Bianchi. What would have happened if your daughter had married one of the undesirables?
I told you I wasn't going to answer that question to you, AC.
Did I ask that question already?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Rob. I doubt very seriously. I mean, you'll see a black man president before you probably ever see that. And if it was, you would have a heck of a long preamp in that arrangement.
See, that situation would be a prenuptial in that situation.
It's just something that just won't happen. And I don't see you will ever see a black man walking down the aisle. And some of them families have records of marrying within the family. Not immediately.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen a lot of that.
And
that was strange with me. I've also seen people not only do it because of finances and trying to keep their wealth, but I've also seen people do that. I've seen evidence in some places where the Dominicans was doing that because they didn't want to get too dark.
Well, I'm talking strictly on economics here. I ain't talking about some.
All the time. All the time.
So, no, but what my point was is that, hey, look, people go here and they marry within the family for different reasons.
Right. And parents spoke like my grandson, 15-year-old. I got to keep hoochie mamas off of him all the time whenever we go someplace. So.
Hoochie mamas.
But.
No,
you know, there's a definite, black connotation connected to that. You understand that, right? Hoochie mama. Oh,
well,
that's right. You don't watch TV or anything, so you wouldn't know about the cultural situation. So.
Well, that's okay. What they call this. That's what they call themselves. So who am I to say?
Well, I wasn't talking to. I didn't hear a hoochie mama just say that. So they're not the only ones that call themselves that. Huh?
Well, you wasn't there. You in Chicago, aren't you? No, you in Colorado.
No, but I'm listening to you on the phone, and you just called out.
No,
hoochie
you just
mama.
Said you.
There
you
was
weren't
no hoochie
there.
Mama saying that. You were saying
you
that.
Said,
so they're not the
you,
only ones that call themselves that.
You said you know if one thing that you said that was truthful, and you may not say anything else. You are absolutely right. You were not there.
Moving right along. Mr. Jackie.
You thought that was cute?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go mute. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Why? What's wrong with you?
I was getting in and out of my car.
I don't want to hear that pinging noise. So, you know, what something that Brother Bianchi has said real quick. About allowing your daughter to marry a drug dealer. Would you allow that?
Who am I to tell people they don't love each other?
What was the case with this one young black lady, young black girl, should I say, that married a drug dealer, and she ended up being in prison herself? And I think it was during the time of Bill Clinton, he was trying to get him to commute her sentence because of the circumstances that she was just in the car with her husband. But the judge put her and locked her up, too, with some serious time.
Hmm.
So that there is an example.
Example of what?
Of why your daughter should marry a drug dealer.
Oh, okay. So what was the case about
the example of mandatory minimum Rockefeller drug law? That's a good example.
So what was
that.
The case of the lady that married Bernie Madoff and he wound up in jail for 150 years and ruined her life? What? you know, your money doesn't cure all ills, pal. I thought you knew that. And besides,
the women that marry men that's on the down low or just serial cheaters, and they bring their wives diseases that.
That's right, Robin.
Their whole reproductive system.
If you've done some investigation into who your daughter wanted to marry, and your sources came back and say this person is on the down low, so would you let her go ahead and marry?
That's a little different.
Would you let your daughter marry Frank?
I don't. This is just me, my personal opinion. I don't think that you can control grown people. If they want to make the biggest mistake of their life, then the only thing you could do as a parent is be there to help them get over it.
But as being
you?
A parent,
because
and
they think they in love.
So being, you try to give your child that information based on your life's experiences. So your life's experiences, yep. Saying you know, you should be hanging out with the down low so and so.
This is the truth right here. Anybody who has ever been in love, they know this. If you're in love with somebody, it doesn't make a difference what another person come and tell you about that person. You wind up hating the messenger instead of the message. You have to find some shit out on your own, and that's just like that's just love right there.
You know,
a person for the wrong reasons or you love their representative, sometimes you just got to meet the real person on your own. Another person can't come and tell you about that.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is very true. And, you know, there's some immigrants here, and I know of experience where this one young lady from Nigeria was very fond of an African-American that she wanted to marry him, and he told her, no, you need to marry somebody of your own ethnic group, which is, you know, this lady happened to be Igbo, and she did end up marrying an immigrant here who was of her ethnic group. So there, if you have a daughter that was brought up that was strong in your culture and strong in the family, because it's their position to make the family proud. I knew of a girl. I was working with a young lady who was here, an immigrant, and we was out someplace taking care, showing her how to transact business, how to go to one agent to the other. And in one place, she met some other who was from, you know, her ethnic group, and they was talking back and forth. And as they got ready to leave, the husband and the wife, the husband told her, make us proud. So in some cultures, you don't just live for yourself. You live for the good of your people. And that's exactly what an example that she gave.
I have gave like two examples, and in America, that's not really our culture. And in America, the only way you stop a grown person from doing what they want to do is by illegal forces. And those people that wasn't in our culture, but their offspring decided to be a part of this culture and take up this culture instead, they wind up being dead. I don't see how you can stop grown people from doing what they want to do other by some type of restricting force, which is illegal, or, you know, you just cut them off.
Well, if the child is brought up,
or they cut you off.
If the child is brought up, you know, that's a good point, too. But if the child is brought up with a child respect his or her parents, and in the case of a female, she highly respect her father, then, yes, those things that I just got to describe and do play out. And some people will actually
respect
another
fear.
Well, it's respect. I mean, I'm talking about from the pure point of respect.
Fear.
I ain't talking about it from fear.
That's fear. That's not respect. That's fear.
Well, why would you say it's
respect? Because
respect
goes both ways.
Well, if it was
respect
fear,
goes both ways.
With fear,
if you say, do what I do, and I say I don't want to do it, that doesn't mean I don't respect you. But if you say do what I do what I say, and if I don't, I have to fear for my life, that's not respect. That's fear. I'm afraid of you. I'm only doing what you say because I'm afraid.
Well, if the lady come up, if the young girl come up and ask her father if this is okay, is that not showing respect?
Yeah, that's respect.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. And I know a case where a brother whose son married a white lady, and he cut the son off from inheritance.
There it go again. Fear. That's fear right there. You either gonna marry who the hell I say marry, or you gonna be poor.
Well, at least extortion.
He did marry. You know, they don't come around the father and the mother on holidays and things like that. But he did cut him off.
So his threat didn't mean anything. He wasn't afraid of his threat. His threat was cutting him off financially, and he didn't care. Because, like I was saying, when you love somebody, you don't care what other people think.
There we go. There we go. What do you feel about that, AC?
What do I feel about that? I mean, the sister's talking to a brother that told his daughter she couldn't marry two people. So, obviously, he's in a different camp. Of course, he may have frightened his daughter into abiding by his decision. He would like to call it respect. I sure would like to talk to her and ask her how she felt about it. And I sure would like to know who he finally decided was good enough for his daughter to marry.
Okay,
but that's
the culture that he raised his daughter in.
That's the culture that you're talking about is totally different. You consider that culture. I consider that culture like I consider female.
You're not supposed to knock somebody else's culture.
Female circumcision culture.
But Rob, it's been going on in Africa and other places around the world for tens of thousands of years. And you know, here's another point.
It's been going on for tens of thousands of years.
Here's another point too. When you look at the condition of African American society in America, it would be hard pressed for somebody to take advice from somebody from their particular society, given the social, you don't even have to put economics in it, from the social concerns that's going on in the community. I heard in Chicago, another 20 was shot over the weekend, over the 4th of July holiday. And that information is being disseminated outwardly. Therefore, your reputation your reputation has preceded you. Before you even get there, they have already drawn up a idea of what it is that you're all about.
And? I mean, they could be just like you.
Your daughter said that, Dad, I want to marry this, marry such and such and so, and she's going to say, where is he from? And she say, well, he's from...
No, I wouldn't ask that question. I wouldn't ask where he was from. It wouldn't make a difference.
Thank goodness.
Wait a minute. You make a statement about my daughter and what I would do, and I'm telling you I wouldn't ask where he was from.
You have some problems with your ears too, brother? I didn't say anything about your daughter.
You said your daughter.
Rob, was I talking to him?
Who were you talking to then?
I'm not sure. I don't think he was, but...
You don't think he was? Do you know for a fact he wasn't? Because I thought he was. Who are you talking to then? Are you talking to yourself?
I was talking to Rob.
Okay.
Oh, Rob's daughter.
No, I didn't say Rob's daughter. I said that man said that father's daughter.
I see the problem here. I see the problem.
Hold on.
You actually have a problem with English. The word that you, the pronoun that you used was your.
So
the problem
you said
is
you were talking to Rob, but you weren't talking about Rob's daughter.
problem is that you thought I was talking to you, and I told you I was not talking to you.
Well, it doesn't make a I thought you were talking to me, in which case I wouldn't ask that question. Where is he from?
Stop right there, but you want to carry it on some more. All meetings you're not welcome.
It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous question to ask. Where is he from? What difference does that make? Regardless of whose daughter you're talking about.
But anyway, Rob, you understand what I'm talking
Even
about.
Yours.
I would ask that question there, AC. I would ask that question, where is he from? You
why
do want to know
what
you're doing, though. Okay, well, you know, she says she wants to marry this guy. You know, hey, where is he from? That's the same thing as, like, who is he?
Okay. No, it's not the same. So where he's from determines who he is? Is that what? Come on, please.
See, what is it about? You can go
stop
ahead and formulate your question, but you want to know the individual that your daughter spent time with. You had to know. You want to know.
Ask your daughter where the guy is from.
Hold on. Just like you
want to
know who they're hanging out when they you know, they leave the house when they're kids.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, you still want to know who she's married. Just the same thing as, like, you know, when they leave the house when they're kids. You want to know who you're hanging out with.
So you ask your daughter where he's from, and that's going to determine who she's married.
But I don't think that wanting to know who he is will determine, I mean, should determine if they should get married or not.
No, I wasn't saying that. You're just still concerned with who you still go ahead and ask that question. Y'all going to tell me y'all don't ask that question?
Okay. Well, looky here. There is such thing as priority and precedence, and that would be very low on my list of priorities and precedence.
I'm just going to go ahead and marry. Who is he? You want to know this person? You don't want to know.
No. My first question would be is, why are you marrying this person?
That's the same thing.
My first question would be, do you love him? That was my first question.
If I ask why are you marrying him, the answer should be because I love him. So, yeah, I can deal with that question. I have no problem with that. But
why
I would ask, why are you marrying him? And if she said, because I love him, I'd say, okay, that's a good start.
That's a good start. So you ain't got no more questions. You're going to walk away from the conversation right there.
I said, list of priorities, pal. The first question out of my mouth would not be where he's from.
Hey, Rob.
What difference does that make?
You remember the name Doty Fod?
The dude got killed with the princess there.
Diana.
Yeah. Princess
Diana.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Was she not talking about marrying this man? This Arab?
Yeah.
Into the royal family?
Right.
He was already in a royal family, and he wouldn't have been marrying into the one that she was a part of.
Okay. But she would have been married... That marriage would have done something there to
what?
The bloodline, wouldn't it? Was that
how so?
Well, they would have to have children that would be able to inherit to jack up the bloodline, right?
And none of those children would be in line for the British crown, so it's a moot point.
She was pregnant when she got killed.
None of those children would be in line for the British crown. So it's a moot point.
No.
No.
There's no possibility?
No possibility.
Oh, I don't know about that, man.
She wasn't. It was her children by the prince.
Hey, Rob.
She was like...
But Doty Fad, he came from a what do you, the prince, he was something like that, wasn't he?
He was connected to the royal family in Saudi Arabia.
Right. So that situation wouldn't change. So he can go ahead and probably go ahead. That offspring can probably go ahead and challenge the British monarchy.
Challenge the British monarchy.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm king over here in Saudi Arabia, so I should be king over there in the UK.
You're right.
How?
Okay. He's grasping at straws. I like that cliche.
Her second son doesn't even have a chance at the crown.
Thank you.
Mm. How would a son that does not even have the blood
belong to the royal?
It's
not
for
a royal lineage.
Interesting.
I'm not following that one.
I'm going to have to go ahead and check that out, baby.
Check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up, man.
Well, Rob, you've heard of Kemet Amin Maat Kara Hatshepsut, have you?
That's a long one there.
Yeah,
I think.
Sure, yeah.
I guess.
You've heard of Hatshepsut, right?
Say it again?
You've heard of Hatshepsut.
Yeah.
Well, did you know she was born of Immaculate Conception? Because the god Amun was tired of mixed marriages. He wanted a pure solar child.
Okay.
And Amun, the god, came and impregnated her mother through Immaculate Conception without her, the mother, coming in contact with the father, and she gave birth to Hatshepsut. Because Amun did not like his people marrying outside of their ethnic group.
But that's a myth, a fable, right?
No, Hatshepsut was true. The story is on the birthing colonnades there on the west bank in Aswan at a place called Zorzeret Zorzeru, which means the most elect and holy of places. And on the birth colonnade, it showed that Amun was tired of mixed marriages and wanted a pure solo child. And he impregnated her mother, whose name was Queen Akhmos Hatshepsut, thus by creating a royal child, Kemet Amin Hatshepsut. So this whole thing about who your daughter marry, and also not only that, your sons too, has been going on for tens of thousands of years amongst black people, and of course amongst other people also. And it was cultural, and it was for specific reasons. And even sometimes the Sultan, because there was no word king at that time, would marry others on the throne for political reasons. And that was played out in Guinea-Bissau with Cabral during the time of the Portuguese playing havoc upon the Guinea-Bissau people. So, yes. And it still goes on today, not only in royal families, but even some people in common society is still played out. And
okay, so is the Bush daughters, or I think both of them got married, the Clinton girl got married, they all got married to some rich cats and stuff like that. Was that like, you know, families marrying families?
Well, yeah. They ain't going to let their daughter marry nobody that's probably flipping hamburgers at the White Castle.
I don't understand. How is it that sometimes people want to go and dig up these cultures and stuff that they ain't never been in, and they want to make it a part of theirs. But at the same time, just with religion, you pick and choose which ones you want, but you can't never make all of them right because you leave out shit. So why not just make it what it is? I pick and choose this out of this and that and that and this because that's what I choose to do.
But
you gotta make it like, oh, the Africans did it. The Africans did a whole bunch of shit. The Africans fucked each other. We gonna start fucking each other too because the Africans did it?
I don't know.
Well, blacks
part
in America already doing that.
I don't
I
see
think
a lot
was
of influence going around black America.
Yeah. People got a right, especially in this country, to
did
practice
that
whatever they want to.
But we know that the ancient Egyptians practiced incest to keep their bloodline together. We know this. Are you going to do that?
I don't know. There have been stories where ancient Egyptians practiced incest to keep their bloodline together.
Man, that's a fact.
And I spent a long portion of my life studying that civilization very, very thoroughly. Not completely.
Matter of fact, I think you was on the Amun Ra squad and your Aunt Gozi was going back and forth about it.
No, it wasn't none of me.
Oh, my bad. Well, maybe you should come and bring it up again so they can dispel that whole mess again.
Okay, so who said that?
I mean, it's only...
Where'd you hear that originally?
Hmm? Mm-hmm.
About the Egyptians going ahead and it was ancestral just to go ahead and keep their bloodline pure.
I forgot what your dynasty was.
All right, we're going to find that.
It
really wouldn't
it
have to be.
It was one of the later dynasties. It wasn't even one of the earlier dynasties.
Well, the later dynasties was after the earlier dynasties was more pure. But really, it wouldn't. They all came from the same place. They came from the southern areas, from the upper regions, so they all came from the same place. So why would they have to do that anyway?
Because that's you looking back. Us looking back, we thinking they're the same. You go to Africa right now, you go to Ghana, and you look at all them Africans, they don't treat each other the same. One African can look at the other African and tell if that African is Ashanti or not. If that African is not Ashanti, he gets treated like a second or third class citizen just because he's not Ashanti. You go over here and you look at both of them, they both trying to run game on you because you American.
Well,
even though y'all all look the same.
In this particular example that you're giving, that's not true because I spent a lot of time in Ghana, lady. A whole lot of time.
Well, you know what? I got an African coworker right now. He's Ghanaian. He's Ashanti. And you know what, Rob? Next time you have your next show, because he's outside and I'm inside now, we can have him on. We can talk to him all about it.
Matter of fact,
he told me this all the time. I let him listen to, and this is the funny thing. Everybody that come on these shows, and they always, oh, I've been to Africa and stuff like that. I've had a couple of African coworkers, and when I let them hear how y'all talk about it, they laugh at y'all.
Okay, so next Tuesday we're gonna have him on.
Yeah, bring him on.
Bring him on.
We work on Tuesday.
I got only like 5 minutes left in the show. I'm glad everybody came out.
I would like to know it's going to be a show a little earlier, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am. I'll do a little bit better than that. Brother AC, you got any final words?
Thank heaven for unlimited nights and weekends.
Okay. Brother Pianchi, you got any final words?
Well, not really. I had a very good moment today when I was reading Uganda's constitution, talking to one of the ethnic ministers, and they have written in their constitution that life begins at conception, and same-sex marriage is not permitted in our country. And I said, right on, y'all. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, you sent me that. I was reading that. Sister Jackie.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to say? You get more time because you're a woman. Forget them other guys. Just you and me, baby. Just you and me.
I think that, in a way, we need to find out who we are. Not who we are as a people, but who we are personally, who we are to ourselves, and how we relate to the people around us and the people that we love and that love us, instead of trying to pick up traditions that everybody that's our same skin tone. Because those people don't even treat themselves like that. They know what tribes and stuff they belong to and what customs they carry and traditions they follow. They know this. We don't. We look silly trying to pick up what they do, and we're not them.
Thank you, sister. On that note, we're going to go. Hey, but I did get this track here from a lady in, where she come from? Zambia.
Graffiti. one-on-one to